Good morning, friends. What a wonderful privilege for Ken and I to have you join with us in this space as God invites us today to seek His presence and to know that His love is unconditional for you and for I. It is our prayer for you that you will be blessed today and encouraged as we enter this sacred time of Advent and worship together.
Welcome. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent includes 4 weeks before Christmas, and it is a time when the Christians get ready for the birth of Jesus. The coming of Jesus' light into the world. During Advent, we have the practice of lighting the Advent wreath. We light the candles to remember that Jesus' light is born into the world, and it is all around us. Each Sunday, we light a candle. Today, we light a candle of hope. We hope that Jesus' light will come again and again into our world. So let us go inward and be quiet. Close your eyes or focus on the candle. And find the hope that is inside. Where is the hope that is inside of you? If you can't find it today, ask God to help you find it. Sit quietly and notice the hope. Jesus, help your light to shine in us as hope. Hope is a candle. Her wish this Christmas was that Christmas would just pass her by. Nothing could reach her or answer her questions, why she feels so alone, and she wonders if all hope is gone. Hope is a candle, a light unto the world, a light in the window, showing the way for the heart to come home. Hope is a Savior who is born in a manger, sent down from heaven to rescue our hearts, our Christmas hope. She never imagined that for her there was hope to find, but isn't it amazing how God brings us back to life? She's smiling now. She's finding out what Christmas hope is all about. Hope is a present, a gift freely given to all who receive and open their hearts. Hope is a promise for a better tomorrow. In a world filled with sorrow, we always have hope, our Christmas hope. Let us pray together. Let your spirit burn into our hearts. Let your light shine in the world as we wait through the Advent season for the baby Jesus' birth. Let your star of hope lead us to the place where the Christ would be born today. Amen.
Spirit, rule in all our hearts.
Where were you when? Every generation has its where were you when question about some cultural event. Where were you when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon? Where were you when you heard JFK or Martin Luther King Jr. had been shot and killed? Where were you on 9/11? Some of those examples predate many of us, but we all have a new one that we can share. Where were you when you first realized that this coronavirus was for real? Moments like these are big. They change things. There's no going back. Culture shifts. Lives are never the same. And unfortunately, many of these tend to be negative events, catastrophic or tragedies. They strike with no warning and introduce a new sense of uncertainty into our lives. Is this sounding familiar? Welcome to 2020, anyone. Wow, what a year. Has there ever been a year filled with more uncertainty, at least in our lifetimes? This one has to at least rank in the all-time top 10 of unexpected happenings and uncertain events due to its ongoing uncertainty. You could write a sci-fi novel or a movie straight out of the headlines. Either that, or the headlines have been straight out of a sci-fi thriller. You know what's on the list? We've all been living it for almost a year now. Global pandemic, economic recession, mass unemployment, political division, cultural upheaval, racial reckoning, record wildfires, complete with fire tornadoes, extra powerful hurricanes, and floods. Did I miss anything? If it's not the new word of the year officially, it should be doomstrolling. It's perfectly fitting that this new word was added to our lexicon this year. You know, it's that scroll through your news feed, on social media, on your phone, just thumbing through the headlines. We've probably all done it, and hopefully we've all caught ourselves and learned to limit the doom scrolling before bed. I'm not trying to bring us down here, quite the opposite, but this is the reality that we have been living in for quite some time. It's been a tough year, and if there's ever a year that we need Christmas, this is it. If there's ever a year that we need the hope of Christmas, this is it. If there's ever a year that we need Christ, my friends, this is the year. It's a good thing that we've made it to here, to Advent, nearly to Christmas. You see, entering Advent is a season of hope. It means coming or arrival, and the season is traditionally a time of expectation, of waiting, of anticipation and longing. Advent is not just an extension of Christmas. It's a season that links the past, the present, and the future. Advent offers us the opportunity to share in the ancient longing for the coming Messiah, to celebrate his birth, and to be alert for his second coming. Advent looks back in celebration at the hope fulfilled in Jesus' coming, while at the same time looking forward in hopeful and eager anticipation to the coming of Christ's kingdom when he returns for his people. During Advent, we wait for both. It's an active, assured, and a hopeful waiting. Far too often, our Christmases have become frenzied and overwhelmingly busy. We pack our schedules with so many seasonal happenings. The stores start pushing Christmas decor and merchandise and fuel a gift-buying frenzy in October or even earlier. And the season of peace is quickly overloaded as a season of stress. It's even a different kind of stress this year in the midst of COVID-19. But Advent is an opportunity to set all that aside, a time to prepare our hearts, and to help us place our focus on a far greater story than our own, the story of God's redeeming love for our world. It's not a season of pretending to be happy or covering up the pain or hardships we've experienced or continue to experience. It is a season of digging deep into the reality of what it means to that God has sent his Son into the world to be Emmanuel, God with us. It's a season of expectation and preparation, an opportunity to align ourselves with God's presence more than just the hectic seasons of presence. So wherever you are on this level of 2020 anxiety and uncertainty, wherever you are in your own spiritual journey, I invite you into this season of Advent. I'd like to even suggest that in the craziness and the uncertainty and the pandemic of this year, that we've been given a gift. We've been given the opportunity to rediscover Christmas. And so for the next few weeks during Advent, we're going to be exploring the attributes of Christ encapsulated in his birth in the Christmas season. Hope, peace, joy, love. And on Christmas Eve, we will celebrate the arrival of Jesus. But today we begin with rediscovering the hope of Christmas, even when we are surrounded by uncertainty. As we explore these themes of Advent, we'll see how they relate to and are exemplified in different characters of the biblical story. But we want to share a little bit of background to these times in which the people were living. We think we have it bad today, but you know, so did Israel back in the days of the Bible. And they could make a pretty good case during the time of Jesus, when they, like much of the world, were a defeated nation under the thumb of the Roman Empire. It was a harsh day to live in a time of conquest and brutality. It had been thousands of years since the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the calling out of God's people. It had been thousands of years since they had been invaded and conquered by enemies like the Assyrians and Babylonians, and then the massive empires of the Greeks and the Romans. It had been generations since the formation of God's covenant with humanity, promising a Messiah to make things right, to bless humans, and to restore all that we humans had messed up since God's perfect creation. You see, the fulfillment of God's covenant and the coming of the Messiah who would come to make everything right wasn't just a happy idea that drifted in and out of the Israelites' consciousness and culture. It was their deepest hope. It sustained them. It encouraged them. It even spurred them on. And they clung to the promise to Abraham in Genesis 12 and 3. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. But how long, O God, was the cry of the Israelite people? How long can hope survive, especially under the world-changing forces of the Greek and Roman empires? Were there even embers of hope left smoldering? As we see in Luke's biblical Christmas story, the answer is yes. Spoiler alert, Jesus the Messiah is born at that first Christmas. I know, that's no surprise, but I tell you that because I'm going to pick up Luke's narrative in a very, very unusual place today. Most of the time we end our Christmas story narrative with Mary and Joseph and Jesus in the stable. And the shepherds come and they visit and they go back to their flocks in the field. And we sneak the Magi into the nativity because it's more convenient to get everybody together for one last group member in the Christmas pageant. And then we all sing Silent Night and we roll the credits. Well, Luke's Christmas narrative doesn't end the night of Jesus' birth with the shepherd's departure. Not the three kings, mind you. But the next ongoing scene in Luke's story comes right after it. And I'd like for us to look a little bit more closely today at that scene, and specifically its characters, Simeon and Anna.
The scripture reading this morning is taken from Luke 2, verses 22 to 38. Jesus is presented in the temple. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arm and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has sent us as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. The prophecy of Anna. Anna, a prophet, was also in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Simeon and Anna were sparks of hope in Israel. More than that, they were torches of hope. They expected God to come through and do what he said. They believed it. They were waiting for it. And they were kind of like elders in this story. They'd lived long lives. They'd seen, experienced many things. They had hardship for their people and pain in their own lives. We know Anna had been a widow for decades, a position of low social status in that culture. But yet both of them remained faithful to God. They are ready to see God act and do great things. Did you notice in Luke's account that neither Simeon nor Anna seemed the least bit surprised or uncertain about the fact that this baby Jesus is the long-promised Messiah? Almost everyone in the Christmas story so far has taken a little bit convincing about the whole arrangement. Granted, many of the others had an angel appear with a heavenly announcement and it caught them off guard, if not made them completely terrified. Maybe God knew that Simeon and Anna might just have heart attacks on the spot if an angel appeared to them. But I think it's more than that. I think God didn't need an angel to get the message to these two faith giants. They were ready. They were tuned in. They were waiting. They were watching. They were listening. They were expecting. They were filled with the hope, and that hope made them ready. Day after day, year after year, Simeon and Anna had served God faithfully. They were inspired and fueled by the hope that God was at work, even though they couldn't see it. They were surrounded by hardship, and as time passed and they got older and older, they still held on to hope. They fostered new and renewed hope as they set their focus on God, worshiping, serving him, taking one step faithfully at one time as they waited. Of course God came through, they might have said. This is what he said he would do. The Messiah is here. And they rejoiced and they celebrated and they infused new hope into the people around them, including probably those new parents, Mary and Joseph, who were still trying to figure out how to be earthly parents of God's son, Jesus, the Messiah. But Simeon and Anna revealed several things about hope and its power that we can take away and apply to our lives today. You see, hope sees beyond. It just sees beyond. It's the fuel of faith, dreams, possibilities, the whisper of maybe, just maybe. It's the spark in the cold darkness that catches flame. It's the flicker of the first light on a new morning. And no matter how hard our year has been, no matter what kind of problems that we have faced, no matter what struggles that we are facing now, or what kind of season of darkness and pain you are in, let me encourage you not to abandon hope. Hope is still alive, even in our deepest pain and most hopeless circumstances. Hope chases away the darkness and uncertainty. Hope is alive because God is with us. You see, in Romans 8, there's a section of that chapter that often gets overlooked. And it's the chapter where Paul starts clarifying that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and explains our relationship as God's children and what it looks like to live by God's Spirit. And then he shifts to our future, when God will fulfill his work in us and restore all of creation. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. You see, Hope exists before reality comes to pass. You can hope with all your heart that I really have a $100 bill in my pocket, and then I might take it out and give it to you on the spot. You can think about it, you can expect it, you can tell yourself to keep on believing that it's going to happen. You can hope that you're going to be $100 richer when you walk out and leave me today. But as soon as I give you this $100 bill, hope is done. There's no need for it. You can't keep hoping it will happen because it already has. But you can hope that I'm really going to let you keep it. But hope precedes our present reality. Hope by its very nature exists in the uncertainty before. It exists in questions, in doubts even, and in that unclear sense of what is to come. But hope is the willingness and desire to believe beyond what our present circumstances and reality are presenting to us. Romans 8, verse 26 leads us into the next point, that God is with us here, now, and always. You see, God knows your pain. He knows your challenges. He was not taken by surprise when a new coronavirus mutated and spread and went global. He was not surprised when the economy froze and sunk. He was not surprised when you or your loved one received that dreaded diagnosis or call in the middle of the night or heard the words that broke your heart and shattered your world or left you in confusion and anxiety. He sees you. He is here. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And this hope he delivers, this hope he embodied and fulfilled and brought into the world so long ago, this hope that he offers today, this is not a hope that just dangles before us, taunting us with its just out of reach. It's not a hope that demands us to conjure as we struggle in our life's worst moments to achieve. It's a hope that God infuses within us. It's a hope filled and fanned within us by God's Spirit, even in our weakness, even in our grim circumstances, our deepest pain. When we feel too weak to carry on, when we feel our grasp slipping on even the ability to try to hope, His Spirit helps us. His Spirit restores us. His Spirit restores us to restore hope by reminding us of God's faithfulness and promises. You see, our God, our Emmanuel, who is with us, has promised His people throughout history and us today messages of hope. Maybe you'd like to look up Jeremiah 29 and 11, Isaiah 43, 1 to 2, and you'll realize how hope just leaps off the page on these verses. But hope doesn't leave us there. Hope inspires us to carry on. In Romans 5, Paul describes the cycle of hope. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Romans 5, 2 to 5. And this hope from God's Spirit does not put us to shame. It does not let us down. It doesn't disappoint. Instead, it gives that new and growing strength to see beyond the pain and the circumstances. This empowering of hope reminds me of a great story from the COVID-19 pandemic. Do you remember hearing about Captain Tom? In all the doom and gloom of the pandemic, Captain Tom rose as a hero, and an unlikely hero at that. Sir Tom Moore, since he was knighted by the Queen of England, is the 100-year-old man who single-handedly raised $40 million for the British healthcare system by walking 100 laps around his garden. 100 laps for 100 years. He was challenged, and the post went viral. And suddenly the news spread, and suddenly this World War II veteran, gripping his walker, wearing a navy blue blazer decorated with his military medals, walking around his garden, became a national hero, an inspiration. What an amazing story. And he says he's not done yet. He says the first step was the hardest. After that, I got into the swing of things and I just kept going. It can be so hard to lift our downcast, tear-filled eyes to look for that tiny spark of hope. When we feel swallowed by our pain, it can seem so difficult to reach beyond our troubles, to grasp our Lord's outstretched hand, and feel so impossible to take that first step toward hope when we're just weighted down with our burdens. But when we receive the promise of God's word, the promise of hope, we find new strength. We accept the power of hope granted to us. We find new inspiration. When we focus on the power of hope embodied in the birth and life and death and resurrection and the return and eternity of Jesus, we discover new strength to just take that first step and to keep on stepping and walking and maybe even running one step at a time. Hope inspires us. Hope builds upon hope and keeps us going no matter what. So what is your next step of hope today? What is your next step of hope in this Advent season? So often we as humans want to see what happens tomorrow. We want to know the future. We want to skip to the end of the story. Well, in case you haven't realized it, our lives just don't work like that. It's not a privilege we've been granted, but in Christ we have been given the end of the ultimate story. In Christ we have been given true life that transcends the pain of earth and the brokenness of our present world. And so in this Advent season, we can find hope in the arrival and the life of Jesus. We can draw hope from God's faithfulness in fulfilling his long-awaited promise of the Messiah. We can focus on the hope of God's continued work in and all around us that will one day take away even the need for hope as we realize the reality of God's full restoration. And in the midst of whatever life is throwing at you and me today, we can experience the hope of God's Spirit within us, carrying us, strengthening, and giving us the strength to just take that next step before us. Friends, my invitation to you today is to take a step towards hope in this Advent season. Drawing, hope is dawning. Christ is coming. Christ is returning again. And let's welcome him into our hearts and lives every day in this season of expectation and hope.
In Bethlehem, one holy night, a host of angels filled the sky. They sang to tell the world who waits, our Savior comes this Christmas day. God is with us, Christ our Savior, Jesus our Emmanuel. He shall reign our King forever, the hope of Israel. The wise men traveled and all hatred end. Jesus Christ, our Savior, Jesus, our